Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Letterkenny University Hospital has been experiencing significant disruption today as 10,000 support staff across the country strike at hospitals. Letterkenny Public Services Centre will close tomorrow as a mark of respect for the late Councillor Manus Mandy Kelly. Representatives from Lifeline Inishowen held a demonstration outside the Dáil today, and a motion is to come before Derry City and Strabane District Council tomorrow, calling for the establishment of an all-party climate emergency working group. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch. First in news, Letterkenny University Hospital has been experiencing significant disruption today as 10,000 support staff, including porters, cleaners and catering staff, are on strike at hospitals across the country. Talks aimed at ending the health support dispute will get underway at the Workplace Relations Commission tomorrow. However, SIPTU say at this stage it still expects three further strikes planned for next week to go ahead. Speaking from the picket line outside Letterkenny University Hospital today, SIPTU representative Liam Michael Hinney says they are not backing down.
Everybody has their stunt in the hospital, and we're the frontline workers. The support staff is the most important people in the hospital, or one of the most important people in the hospital. So, look, hopefully we'll get a resolution, but we're here for the long haul.
And how badly affected are services in there today, do you know?
Oh, well, the service will be very heavily affected. There'll be a lot of clinics cancelled today, and as I say, next week will be the big one because there'll be three full days of it, so I think it'll really impact next week. So unfortunately we didn't go ahead with one day last week, but hopefully it'll show the day that we can't be done without.
Obviously things aren't going to be negotiated here in the picket line, but what do you believe SIPTU are prepared to move at all in their demands to resolve this dispute?
Well, we're not prepared to move. As we say, we see it as a black and white. It's black and white. We agreed we should be getting the money, and we're not getting it. So, I mean, we're willing to talk to them, but I mean, as I say, we've told our members that it was allocated to us, and we're hoping to get it.
And just going back to the Health Minister once again, he said that, and we do hear this often with these disputes, that if he were to meet SIPTU's demands, that this could upset, you know, other members, you know, within the agreement. But you've argued in the past, haven't you, that's not a... You don't believe that's a legitimate argument?
No, we stayed within the agreement. It was agreed by SIPTU and the HSE that the independent valuer came in and assessed our jobs to be, we're not getting what we should be getting, we're doing a higher class of job. And, I mean, that's our line, and that's the line we're going to stay at.
The Letterkenny Public Services Centre will be closed tomorrow as a mark of respect to the late Councillor Manus Mandy Kelly. The three-time winner of the Jewel Donegal International Rally died following a tragic accident while participating in this year's event on Sunday. A book of condolence is open at the Public Services Centre in memory of Manus, who has been described by Donegal County Council's Fianna Fáil Party Whip, Councillor Kieran Brogan, as a special person who had a bright future ahead of him in political life. His funeral takes place tomorrow in Glenswilly. Meanwhile, tributes are also being paid today to civil rights leader Ivan Cooper, who has passed away at the age of 75. Mr. Cooper was a founding member of the SDLP and was one of the leaders of the Civil Rights March on the day of Bloody Sunday. A book of condolence has opened in the Guildhall in Derry, and a second book is due to open in the Alley Theatre, Strabane. Representatives from Lifeline Inishowen held a demonstration outside the Dáil today. It was in response to the lack of funding the domestic violence service has received since its funding was cut in 2010, resulting in the service being under a constant threat of closure. Last year, the service received €3,200 out of a total budget of €650,000 provided to Donegal for domestic violence support services. Minister Catherine Sapone refused to meet with the group. However, a petition was presented to a cross-party delegation at Leinster House today. Manager of Lifeline Inishowen, Mary Doherty, has been speaking from Dublin.
We had a lot of support there today. We had representatives from Women's Aid, from the National Women's Council of Ireland, and we had quite a few people who travelled up from Inishowen, and we also had people from around Inishowen who came to meet with us too outside Leinster House. We had a few TDs and a few senators there to meet us and to accept the petition and to hand it over to Minister Sapone.
No word from Minister Sapone herself. That's something you're disappointed about.
The main thing we're trying to do, really, is to get a meeting with her. We've been trying for the last 4 years, and it just hasn't been happening. And that was the reason that we decided to come here.
In terms of the response you've had, were any of the representatives there from the government parties, were any of them able to say anything to you that would give you hope that perhaps there will be a breakthrough?
They're going to bring it forward and see what the outcome can be. And they are asking for a meeting about funding for Lifeline.
But as of yet, no answers?
No answers. We're not getting an answer straight away, Donal, unfortunately. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle raised the issue at the Council of Europe in Strasbourg today. Speaking on the Istanbul Convention, Deputy Pringle spoke of how Lifeline in Ishan is being forced to shut as they do not meet the government model of delivery of services. Deputy Pringle said the service has consistently stepped in where the government has stepped out. The Department of Communications has written to AIR to see if its offer to roll out the national broadband plan much cheaper stacks up. AIR says it could complete the project for €1 billion, a third of the price the government intends to spend. Opposition parties have called for the project to be reviewed and for the tender to go elsewhere if it's cheaper. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says first they need to establish if what AIR is saying is credible.
One of the things that we want to find out, for example, is how there can be such a big difference between the €2.7 billion bid from AIR and this offer of €1 billion now. And a concern that I have, and a concern that the Department of Communications has, is that a big part of that difference, it would be met by imposing higher charges on those 500,000 homes, farms and businesses in rural areas.
Irish Water has confirmed that it is progressing a project to solve the problem of inadequate sewage treatment in Gidor to protect the environment. Currently, Gidor is over-reliant on the use of septic tank systems due to the absence of adequate wastewater treatment. The utility, working in partnership with Donegal County Council, are developing a new sewage network for the area and upgrading the treatment plant. Catherine Gaffney has more.
In a statement, Irish Water say that the upgrade of the existing wastewater treatment plant will reduce the level of untreated wastewater discharging into the environment while also delivering extra capacity to support development in Gidor. The new sewerage network will ultimately lead to a reduction on the reliance of septic tanks in the area. To allow for the connections to the network, over 40 homes have signed up to the demonstration project and initial surveys of these homes have been completed. Consultations have also been ongoing with all landowners identified on the proposed demonstration project. Irish Water has submitted the compulsory purchase order to Imbord Planola. The timeline for the commencement of works is subject to CPO statutory approvals. This project, Irish Water says, will meet the needs of the local community and ensure compliance with the Urban Wastewater Treatment Directive.
A motion is to come before Derry City and Strabane District Council tomorrow calling for the establishment of an all-party climate emergency working group. Councillor Mary Durkin will bring forward the motion. She says it's clear radical change is needed at national, local and individual level. Councillor Durkin says while the younger generations have taken the lead, it's time for more action from the council.
It's a declaration of climate emergency motion, similar to motions that have been happening at different levels of government. People have to step up. Business as usual isn't going to be enough anymore. We are lucky here in the Derry and Strabane district area that our environmental officers have been pressing on and working hard on developing climate adaptation plans, green infrastructure. But we need to set up an all-party working group with everyone involved and see what can be done at every level, individual, local, national. It's going to impact on decision making across all sectors.
In terms of the council's own response, a lot has been done up to now, but more radical action, we're told, is going to be needed. Things like swapping out electric vehicles for diesel vehicles and so on. And that's really the level at which council is going to have to start changing.
Yes, it is indeed. Every small thing helps. We've done a lot on single use plastics. Small things like the marathon a few weeks ago, there was no plastic bottles, a big change, it was compostable cups. More radical, as you say, Donal, and it's something that all parties have an interest in. All parties have a responsibility to. We owe it to our future generations. The younger people are the people that have been taking the lead on this issue. You know, globally, obviously, with Greta Thunberg. In Derry here, we've seen the global climate strike step up locally, led by school children. They're teaching us. We all have to step up and meet our responsibility. And for that reason, we need an all-party climate emergency working group.
Medicinal cannabis is being made available under a new five-year pilot programme. The legislation for the scheme was signed today. The substance will be prescribed by a medical consultant in consultation with their patient, but there are no plans to legalise cannabis in Ireland. House prices in Donegal in the second quarter of this year were 1% higher than a year previously. According to the latest Daft.ie report, the average house price in the county is now €147,000, 29% above its lowest point. Nationally, the average house price in the second quarter of the year was €263,000, up 0.9% on the first 3 months of the year. Chief economist at Trinity College and author of the report, Roland Lyons, says while things remain stable now, implications of Brexit could majorly impact the housing market in the county.
House prices in Donegal are largely stable at the moment. They increased by just over 1% in the last 3 months, and that means they've actually increased by just over 1% year on year, because there had been a little bit of an up and down over previous quarters, but really the ups and the downs offset themselves. So comparing now to 1 year ago or even 2 years ago, very little change. And the average property price in Donegal currently just below €147,000.
And with the Brexit deadline looming at the end of October, are you expecting a difference there with your next report perhaps?
I think Brexit is a key factor for Donegal more than most places. So if you could think of perhaps Louth and a couple of other counties that might be as badly affected, but you only have to look to what happened after the Brexit vote itself. Property prices had been increasing by 10 or 11% year on year, and when the Brexit vote happened and it became clearer that the UK didn't really know what it wanted out of Brexit, property prices fell actually in 2017 and into early 2018 in Donegal at a time when they were rising pretty much everywhere else in the country. So if we start to see more uncertainty over the next 3 months, and if it looks like the UK is increasingly likely to crash out of the EU without a deal, then I would expect that to feed through into, for example, unemployment and incomes, and therefore through to the housing market. So unfortunately, turbulent times may be ahead for the housing market in Ireland in general because of Brexit, but I think in Donegal more than in most places.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with the latest arrival of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with athletics at the European Games in Minsk. Sam McGee and Chloe McGee will need to win their last group stage match tomorrow for a place in the last eight. They'll be competing at 10 a.m. Irish time against Belarusian opponents. Nat Wen has secured a place in the last 16 of the European Games. The draw for the last 16 in the men's singles will take place at 9 p.m. Irish time tonight. Joshua McGee and Paul Reynolds didn't qualify from Group B in the men's doubles. However, they had a good performance and a win today over their Estonian opposition. Rachel Dara lost out today and missed out on qualification from Group E of the women's singles, losing to Michaela Airy of Finland 16-21, 19-21. Yesterday saw Tyrconnell AC's Kelly McGrory run as part of the mixed 4x400m relay, which set a new national record in the discipline. Gerard O'Donnell had a second place finish in the 110-meter hurdles yesterday evening as well. Elsewhere at the European Games, Kurt Walker has secured Ireland's fifth medal this afternoon. The Lisburn boxer is guaranteed at least a bantamweight bronze after his unanimous decision win over Francis Samuel Kisturi. Earlier, Belfast featherweight Michaela Walsh shocked reigning world champion Ornella Wanner on split decision to secure a medal. Awfully welterweight Grainne Walsh also upset the odds in her quarterfinal to earn at least a bronze, getting the unanimous decision over current European champion Alina Gustafsson. In Gaelic games, Mayo have suffered a serious injury blow ahead of their All-Ireland football qualifier against Armagh on Saturday. Captain Dermot O'Connor fractured his wrist at training last night, and the Mayo County Board say he'll undergo tests later this week to assess the full extent of the damage. It's expected that he'll miss the rest of the championship. In soccer, Institute FC will launch their five-year strategic play later today. The club have a target to be back playing senior football in the Waterside within that period. Following the devastating flooding 2 years ago, the club had to find a new home venue and currently they play at the Brandywell. Their hope is to move back to the Waterside and make Cluny Park West their home venue, not just seniors, but all levels. The launch of the plan will be held in the Guildhall at 7 p.m. this evening. Manchester United are closing in on their second signing of the summer. They've reportedly agreed a £50 million deal with Crystal Palace for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. The England under-21 international defender is set to travel to Manchester for a medical ahead of going on holiday. Former Republic of Ireland international Stephen Ward arrived at Stoke City's Clayton Wood training ground this morning. The 33-year-old is a free agent after being released by Burnley, with whom he made 113 appearances across 5 years. If he was to sign with Stoke, he would be joining fellow Irish stars James McLean and Nathan Collins at the Britannia Stadium. In Scotland, Rangers loan signing Shea Ojo says the opportunity to play for manager Steven Gerrard is one of the reasons he has joined the Scottish Premiership club. The young forward is training with his new teammates in the Algarve after signing a season-long deal from Liverpool. Ojo tells Sky Sports News he's also relishing the chance to play regular first-team football.
The main thing for me, and when I was speaking with my agent and stuff, was just having that club that's going to back you, and you know that you're going to be wanted and part of the club, and you're going to get the fair opportunities that you hope to get as a loan player. And it was just a straightforward decision.
The Gorey Kern Youth Cup preliminary rounds are on this evening. Keju are hosting Fannad and Swilly make the trip to Drumkeen, with both games kicking off at 7:15. In golf, 10 years after winning the Irish Open as an amateur, Shane Lowry is hoping for a second victory at the tournament this summer. The Offaly man heads to Lahinch next week after a strong start to 2019, where he's won the Abu Dhabi Championship and secured a top 10 finish at the PGA Championship. Lowry was crowned Irish Open champion at the Baltrae in 2009, and he says it remains the best moment of his career.
No matter what I do in the game of golf, I think that'll be my greatest ever achievement. You know, winning that as an amateur was huge, and obviously it kick-started my whole career. And you know, I've done all right since, and you know, hopefully I can. I'd really, really love to give myself a chance to win again. And obviously, I'd love to win one as a pro as well. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
And finally, in tennis, defending champion Novak Djokovic is the top men's seed for next week's Wimbledon. Roger Federer is second ahead of Rafa Nadal, despite being lower than the Spaniard in the world rankings, a decision that Nadal has criticised. Meanwhile, world number one Ashley Barty leads the ladies' seedings. That's all your sport here on Highland this evening. Your next sports update is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. But for now, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And returning to some news, the ISPCA has welcomed Minister Michael Creed's announcement that the government will bring forward a bill to introduce a phase ban on current fur farming in Ireland. It will make it illegal for any new fur farms to be established, and arrangements will be put in place for the small number of current operators to allow for an orderly wind down of the sector. Dazetta Fur Farm in Glendies is the only farm in Donegal currently in operation. There's been another fall in the number of people visiting Ireland from Britain and mainland Europe. In May, the numbers travelling from the UK were down 4.4%, while European visitor numbers fell by 4.6%. However, overseas visitors from North America and long-haul routes continue to grow. Brexit and consumer concerns in Europe are affecting some tourist markets. Chief Executive of Tourism Ireland, Niall Gibbons, says the figures were expected.
There is a trend emerging, as expected, that North America and long-haul markets providing robust growth that sustained itself through the first five months and will continue in the latter part of the year as well. North America and those markets up, you know, 8 and 9%. What we are seeing is a continuation of a weakening pattern in Great Britain and mainland Europe.
A West-run MLA claims MOT no-shows are hampering efforts to clear the current backlog. It's emerged that during the week, June the 10th to 16th, 644 people across Northern Ireland failed to show for their MOT appointment at a time when motorists are currently waiting up to 2 months for an appointment at test centres in New Buildings, Oma and Enniskillen. MLA Daniel McCrossan has also expressed disappointment at the Department of Infrastructure's failure to grant a grace period for motorists.
Right across the whole of the North, this has been an ongoing issue, and many, many constituents and drivers have come to the SDLP representatives expressing their frustration at the huge backlogs in MOTs and the difficulty in trying to achieve an appointment, and also the stress that that adds and not being able to get an appointment well beyond the actual period when their MOT runs out. My colleagues and I have written to DFI to explore further into this issue and express our concerns, and also to request a grace period in conjunction with the PSNA for motorists currently without an MOT certificate because of the recent delays at MOT centres. But the DFI have denied our proposal, and they've said that 644 customers who had scheduled appointments failed to attend or turn up for their appointments in the week of the 10th to the 16th of June alone, and they've assured that plans are currently in place to address this overstanding issue. Basically, DFI have come back to say, yes, there is an issue that needs to be dealt with, and they are dealing with it. But what they're saying is that the huge levels of people not turning up for MOT appointments, that is adding to the backlog.
And indeed, a huge number of people need their vehicles for work, so this could be ultimately forcing people to be on the road illegally.
This is why the SDLP have requested a grace period for those who have exceeded the actual time when their MOT runs out. But many people that unfortunately are losing out as a consequence of that. And the SDLP have expressed our disappointment that DFI have chosen not to consider the grace period for motorists, and have pointed that the hundreds of people that are failing to turn up for appointments, by giving that example of 644 in 1 week alone, is ultimately leading to this. So the demand in applications has left many waiting for weeks for an appointment, and is having a negative impact on people's lives and livelihoods.
For weather now, dry and mostly sunny this evening, although cloud will linger in some places. Tonight will be dry with good clear spells and light to moderate northeasterly breezes, with lowest temperatures of between 8 and 10 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Letterkenny University Hospital has been experiencing significant disruption today as 10,000 support staff are on strike at hospitals across the country. Talks aimed at ending the health support dispute will get underway at the Workplace Relations Commission tomorrow. However, SIPTU say at this stage it still expects three further strikes planned for next week to go ahead. The Letterkenny Public Services Centre will be closed tomorrow as a mark of respect to the late Councillor Manus Mandy Kelly. The three-time winner of the Jill Donegal International Rally died following a tragic accident while participating in this year's event on Sunday. Representatives from Lifeline Inishowen held a demonstration outside the Dáil today. It was in response to the lack of funding the domestic violence service has received since its funding was cut in 2010, resulting in the service being under a constant threat of closure. And tributes are also being paid today to civil rights leader Ivan Cooper, who has passed away at the age of 75. Mr. Cooper was a founding member of the SDLP and one of the leaders of the Civil Rights March on the day of Bloody Sunday. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 26th of June. The death has taken place of Rebecca Key out in the Paste, Clohan. Her remains will repose at her son William and daughter-in-law Jeanette's home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock service in St John's Parish Church, Kilty Vogue, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the Church of Ireland Cemetery, Stranorlar. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Unit, Woodville Ward, St Joseph's Hospital, Stranorlar, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of John McCallion, late of 24, Lower Strabane Road, Castlederg. John's remains will repose at his late home from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 10:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from his late home on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castlederg, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Anne Quinn, 15 Coram Road, Legford Rum, Strabane. Anne will repose at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Anne will leave her late residence tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Oratory, Main Street, Newton Stewart, followed by burial in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Plumbridge. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of flowers to Special Olympics Strabane, care of McAtee Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Joseph McCarran, late of Doon, Cooldaff. His remains are reposing at his nephew Patrick and Nora Collins residence at Letcher, Cooldaff. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ahatlay, Mallon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has occurred of Manus Mandy Kelly, Drumaconu, Churchill. Manus's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral Mass in St Columbus Church, Glenswilly, at 12 noon tomorrow, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family Flowers only please donations in lieu of flowers to a charity to be confirmed.